Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Shir. Certainly a different tone this week as the world has changed since this past Shabbos. Tonight's Shir is entitled The Role of Shabbos During Times of War. So I'll preface with a little bit of an internal dilemma I'm having. As a high school rabbi in TABC, there was a Shabbaton scheduled for this Shabbos. And there was an awkwardness, obviously. The plan was, listen, we don't have enough school time before the Chagim, but right after someone's Torah, that we'll get back into the swing of things. And what better way to start the year than to have a lot of the school together in Monticello and, you know, start the year on that foot. And then, obviously, you come back to school and everything's different. And the question is, do you still view the Shabbaton as appropriate or not? So what would you say logically? What would you say? Cancel Shabbaton?
No, don't cancel.
Yes. It's appropriate Shabbaton.
It'd be more appropriate.
Right. If anything, it's like a better thing. We're together. We're davening.
The parents may not want it.
So Thursday night, they were supposed to go up to a water park in Monticello. And they canceled that. Right. So that's like almost like a no-brainer. And in a similar vein, Yeshiva Noam had this carnival scheduled for Sunday. Canceled, right? Meaning
second
something that is...
they canceled it.
That's yeah. So something that's strictly recreational. So the community has obviously taken a very clear stand. But then you have this like awkwardness here where is Shabbos still Shabbos? Is this Shabbos going to be a time where we feel like a Shabbaton is appropriate? Because again, you have a bunch of kids together. It's going to be fun. So you know what? They changed the entire tone of the Shabbaton. And it's going to be a different tone, right? And this is just one of numerous examples of where people are trying to figure out, like, how to live right now. Stuart, I emailed you the Marukomos. Yeah, another example, I have a colleague who's Israeli, and it was his wife's birthday yesterday. And he's like, do you think I'm allowed to take my wife out for dinner right now?
No, create more shalom bayis.
You know, and he really wanted to know my opinion. So I said, listen, I think organizations right now have to create a tone, but think on a personal level, like you're allowed to be a husband, you know. Like I said, what would the chayalim want you to do? And he said, yeah, that's exactly what I thought. This man was a chayal. He's like, the chayalim would want me to live life right now, you know. So I think an organization, a camp, a school, you know, their job is to set a certain tone on a communal level. But an individual, you know, lives life, right? Like people are like writing emails about their regular work apologetically, right? But let's just focus on Shabbos. The Torah in this week's Parashat Bereishis speaks about Shabbos. After creating the world, Hashem says that everything was complete. And now, the difficult pasuk is pasuk beis. So the pasuk says that God finished creation on the seventh day. Now that's not true. What should the pasuk have said? Hashem finished creation when? Not on the seventh day. But on the sixth day, right? The seventh day was the time after the creation had already been complete. But now the Torah says, and then he rested on the seventh day. So the question is, how can you explain both that creation was completed on the seventh day and also the fact that creation was already complete by the seventh day? So Rashi says that answer number one is that, well, most people in the name of Shimo and the Tana, a human, his time is not so precise. So if you give a human a deadline, you need to finish the job by Friday evening. So he needs to stop a little early. He can't go all the way up until the deadline because he might go too far. In contrast, the Ribono Shel Olam can work all the way on Friday up until the very, very last moment. And it would appear as if he's still working on Shabbos, but it's not really true. So answer number one in Rashi is that the Torah says that Hashem was still creating on Shabbos because it had appeared to the human perspective that creation was going on because it was like almost as if you're driving into shul past shkia, but the person who's a yekka knows, no, I still have 14 seconds until shkia, right? So the Ribono Shel Olam has that ability to make it look like it's already Shabbos, but it wasn't. But the second answer, the more midrashic approach, is that, no, really, Hashem already finished creation before Shabbos, but there was still one thing to create on Shabbos, and that was menucha, rest. Ba'a Shabbos, ba'a menucha. The work was complete. It's time to now rest. And similarly, on Pasuk Gimel, when the Torah says that Hashem gave the world a bracha, kivo shavas miko malachto, so Rashi says, what does that mean? Hamalacha shehi ru'uya la'asos b'shabbos. the work that really should have been completed on the seventh day, kaf of asa b'shishi. Hashem made sure it was already completed on the sixth day, so Hashem was able to really rest on the seventh day. That's why the Torah says, "Mikol malachto shabur elikim la'asos." It implies that there's an asiyah even on Shabbos. So the point I want to take from Rashi is that Shabbos is intended for rest. That was the whole idea. That we specifically view Shabbos as a day off, where we can take a deep breath and say, Baruch Hashem. Where all the work that was supposed to be done on Shabbos even, Rashi says you double up on Friday. So that you can take that big sigh of relief when Shabbos hits and say, wow, phew. And we know the feeling, the Friday night chicken soup, Friday night challah, falling asleep on the couch Friday night. Me'ein olam haba. Unfortunately, there are going to be many people, Be'ezus Hashem, the war should be over with Kerega Achas, and there should be Tchias Mesim by Shabbos, and we should literally be in Yerushalayim the Shabbos with all the victims who have already come back to life by the Shabbos. But we'll say, B'derech HaTeva, so to speak, there are going to be many Jews who don't get to keep Shabbos the Shabbos. Who don't get to say, well, all the work I need to do, I better finish on Friday because I got to rest on Shabbos. They're going to continue working on Shabbos. And this shiur is certainly dedicated to the Chayalim who might not really get to feel Shabbos the Shabbos. And we'll break the shiur down into a few parts.
But working on Shabbos. What they do on Shabbos is Shabbos.
So first we're going to talk about the military front on a halachic perspective. And then we'll speak about the rest of the Jewish community who are not, you know, on the front lines. They're avoda on Shabbos. Then we'll certainly want to end with divrei hashkafa. So let's start. Adam, Dr. Karp obviously points out that, listen, you know, they keep Shabbos their own way, and that's equivalent halachically as if they're keeping Shabbos. Gemara in Erevin, Memhei Amarav. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Nachrim Shetzaru Al Ayarosh Yisrael. You have non-Jews who oppress a Jewish town on Shabbos. And Yotzim Aleim B'chli Zaynin Ve'in Mechalim Aleis HaShabbos. We don't respond to them on Shabbos. So imagine if there was some form of attack on Shabbos. The Gemara explains that's only when they're fighting against money. Be'met Devarim Amurim Kishaboa Al Iskei Mamon. If they robbed a few people. So you don't violate a Shabbos. Okay, you halachically, parenthetically, you want to maybe tell a non-Jew to call the authorities. You know, Amir la'akum could be waived. But we don't violate, quote-unquote, d'oraisas when it comes to monetary issues on Shabbos. Aval, says the Gemara, bo'a liske nefashos. But if the enemies are not fighting for our money, but they're fighting for our blood, yotzin aleihem b'chli zaynan, we approach them with weapons. Umachalin alein es haShabbos. You can obviously respond if there's a military attack on Shabbos, and you can violate Shabbos. But then the Gemara says something, unfortunately, all too shayach for this week. Ubiir hasmucha l'safar. But if you live in a city that is close to a border, afilu lubao aliske nefashos ela aliske teven v'kash. Even if the enemies are only coming to fight for straw. Monetary issues, you can still violate the Shabbos with weapons, says Rashi, because if you are living in a border town on the lines between Israel, very good point, Stuart. So Stuart's saying that all of Israel is really essentially a border city. But says Rashi, Irsha Mavdeles, a city that separates Bein Gvul Yisrael and Gvul HaUmos, literally the ones that are, you know, separating between Israel and non-Israel. Between the non-Jews and the outside of Israel. So you know what? You can even go on the offense on Shabbos. You know, here it's really defense. You can go out, though, in response to their attack. Kashema yil kaduha. Perhaps the non-Jews will take control of the border city. Umisham, and from there, teinocha ha'aretz likavesh lifneihem. And once they get a town on the border, it will be similarly easy from then on to go and conquer further lands further in on the borders. Wow. So certainly our borders have been compromised. Today we're talking about the north, but most famous in the south. And I couldn't help but think awkwardly this past Shabbos when we heard just enough news to know that there was something very wrong, but not enough news to really know what was going on. And I was learning Vizosa Bracha with Rashi, And so many Shvatim were given the bracha to fight like lions or cubs or another strong animal, because those Shvatim are the ones on the borders of Israel. And they're the ones who we need the most to keep us safe. Dafka, the Jews who live on the borders, the front lines. And it's a halacha in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam says explicitly this halacha, just like we said. But then the Rambam actually adds a little bit. I underlined it. He says, "U'mitzvah al kol Yisrael sheyicholin lavo, latzeis v'la'azor la'acheim shebematzor la'atzilin miyana goyim b'shabbos." So you might have thought that this halacha is limited to the Jews who live on the border, but it's not true. Any Jew who has the capability of assisting those Jews who are in the towns that are being threatened, whose lives are at stake, any Jew that could come and help them, the ones who are under siege, you have to come, even on Shabbos. The Asr Lenlis Mameya Lemotse Shabbos says the Rambam, God forbid, Chas v'shalom, you should delay until Motzei Shabbos. U'kishiyatzilu es acheim, and when you go, let's say Chayal got the call to go down south, the drive to Ofakim, the mashal, this past Shabbos, and once you save your brothers there, mutar lehen lachzor b'chlei zayin shalem lemakomish b'Shabbos.
That's the Hatzalah.
Yeah, the Hatzalah, you can even go back with your weapons on Shabbos, because we don't want this to happen again, without going into the details of the Gemara. But the main point I wanted to draw from the Rambam is that the Rambam doesn't just stop with the city that's under siege. The Rambam expanded it to all of Klai Yisrael who can help. Which means if you think that it's not your problem, it is your problem if you have the capability of helping. And then the Rambam gives the example if you're in the water, if a boat is compromised. Let's say there's a natural disaster, you with water, it's a mitzvah to violate Shabbos to help anyone. And then the Rambam says, here's the halacha that's going to take us to the next part of the shir. But you'll see what I mean in a second. The Rambam says, V'zo'akin aleim u'mischanan b'Shabbos. You can even cry for them on Shabbos, daven intensely. U'masriyan aleim la'azorosan, yell out. Even though generally speaking, we don't daven like that on Shabbos. We'll get back to that halacha shortly. I wanted to just, I'm going to come back to that halacha. But if you see where the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, I'm going to go back to the part I'm skipping, just to keep the show organized. So far we've seen the military halacha number one. Right? Obviously, if there's danger, it's you violate Shabbos. And similarly, the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim writes that if you're a soldier and you've entered enemy grounds, so the Torah gives you the green light to violate the Torah. Kishikansu b'gvul agoyim, if you conquer enemy lands, mutalen la'ochel nevelos v'trefos u'basar chazer kayot sebo. So you're allowed to eat shreif. If you're hungry and you have nothing else to eat, you can even drink yayin nesach, because the Torah says in the beginning of Sefer Devarim, "Ubatim meleim kol tuv." Right, when we attack our enemies and you find the houses filled with anything good, you can enjoy them. The Gemara says even the pig in the fridge or whatever, so to speak. You know, the pork, you know, of the enemies, you can enjoy that. Now, the only question the Achronim struggle on with this Rambam, says the Radvaz, the others who ask, I don't understand. You don't need a special drasha in the Gemara based on a pasuk to teach you that you're allowed to eat treif if your life is in danger. So the Rambam evidently is actually not talking about a matter of life and death. So the Radvaz, one of the classic commentaries on the Rambam, says the Rambam is actually not talking about a case of life and death. The Rambam is talking about a soldier who is a little hungry and he's still allowed to eat pork. Can anyone explain why that would be? Why would a soldier, let's say they go into Gaza and it's Shabbos, and a soldier wants to eat pork, but he can make it, he can live, he doesn't need it. So, Abe, why would the Torah permit him to eat the pork?
Well, the reason is simple. You don't want him to think about any other needs than the needs of the war. So you don't want him to waste time.
That's exactly it. Says the Radvaz, excellent. What happens if he takes the time to find kosher food? Yakumu alem ha'amim. Right? You're giving time for the enemy to respond. We don't do that. Which means once you're in enemy lines,
anything goes.
It's an amazing halacha. And the Radvaz is chiddush, and others say it as well. There's a Rivash and others. It's Sfasemis I have in the Mar Makomos, which basically say that even when it's not Pikuach Nefesh, it's Sfasemis. The Gemara that the Rambam is quoting is a Gemara in Shabbos, a Tesamen Aleph there, where the Gemara says don't attack within 3 days of Shabbos, whatever. But it seems like they're not talking about an emergency, obviously. The Sfasemis says, we're not talking about a Sakana. If it's a sakana, you don't need any fancy drasha. We always violate Shabbos anytime this is a sakana. You know, a woman goes into labor on Shabbos, Hatzalah functions on Shabbos, etc. But the Sfas Emes, like the Radvaz, explains that really you're winning the war. Yadeno takifa, but if you were to stop, Yisbatel HaKibush, you would lose ground a little bit, you would lose the momentum, you might not conquer as much, and that's why the Torah needs to say even this violates Shabbos, meaning these parts of, we'll say, you might have thought, shouldn't violate Shabbos. No, even here, it does violate Shabbos. Okay, so that is a little bit, I would say, ad kan, you know, part number one of the shir, whereby it might be intuitive, but obviously the military is encouraged to act as normal despite Shabbos. You know, again, just in case you need a marm komos, there they are. But how chilling it is to read that Gemara about the, you know, the towns on the border, on the boundaries of Klal Yisrael, that the halacha genuinely views them as different. They have a different halachic status. And even if it was only a monetary threat, we don't mess around with our borders. And that's exactly what we're explaining here. Our borders have been compromised, and that's why a major, again, forgetting all of the brutality of Hamas for a second, just on a basic geographical level, on a military defense level, when your borders are compromised, you don't mess around with that. Okay, so that's for the Tzahal to worry about, for the rabbis and Tzahal to worry about. We'll call it Hutra for clarity's sake. Just, you know, Shabbos essentially doesn't play a role, clearly. Good. But then, if you're in Fairlawn, New Jersey, so let's say you're not in the army, what would you say logically about a Tehillim rally on a Friday night, this Friday night? So certainly every night of the week, Klal Yisrael is, you know, storming Shemaim, as the term has been thrown out. Would you say it is appropriate or inappropriate to have a Tehillim rally on Shabbos proper? So it says, what's the question? Pashut. Yeah? Anyone think differently, or is it not in the spirit of Shabbos? What would you say? Yeah, Peter, what would you say? Different, meaning it's okay. Obviously, Thursday night, there's a whole, you know, whatever you want to have, a vigil. So it's in Shomer. Let's say an email went out that Darche Noam and Anshe Lubavitch and Shomer Torah, whatever, are all going to gather together in Shomer Torah on Shabbos afternoon, this Shabbos. Tell him, appropriate or inappropriate? It's okay. So Peter wasn't necessarily endorsing it. You say, what? It's happened before. When does it happen?
War, but for someone's health.
Very good.
But interesting. You know,
for health.
You don't say tell them responsibly. Actually, that's...
So there's a difference in the way you say them. So recently, it was in the past couple of years, the OU, I guess there were maybe rockets coming in from the south at that time, and the OU at that time had given halachic guidance to say Tehillim on Shabbos, but maybe it wasn't responsibly. I think that actually was, maybe am I wrong, Adam, but I think we said Tehillim, but not responsibly, something like that. Okay, so the Rambam had been quoted already that when people are in danger, they are allowed to cry out. So the Shulchan Aruch says like this, Shin Chav Tes Vav. So this is Hilchos Shabbos, a couple of dinim that we're going to learn. Again, Marmor Kombos might not be completely in order yet. I have to rearrange them. But where it says, Shin Chav Tes Vav. Akum Shetzar Ayor Yisrael. So again, if you're in danger, so that's where the Rambam, I'm sorry, that's where the Shulchan Aruch presents this halacha, about where if you're in danger, you can violate Shabbos. And the border towns is brought down in the halacha. And the Rama, by the way, adds, Va'afilu lo bo'a adayin elo rotzim lavo. The Rama says, even if they have not yet attacked formally, but you see that they want to come in. Whoa. So that already affects halacha. So that really goes on the previous part of the show, again, on a military level, says the Rama, you don't have to wait for them to strike first. If you see that they are threatening, you can then respond even on Shabbos. Okay. So, but the halacha I want to focus on now, sorry, it's not in that one, but the Reish Peches Tes. So Adkan, first part of the Shir, about military, the Ramah conclusion was that even if it's preemptive, because you know it's coming, you can violate Shabbos. Good. Reish Peches Tes, says the Shulchan Aruch. Ein so akin v'lo matriyin bo al shum tsara. We don't cry out on Shabbos like a fast day, unless what? There are exceptions. Tzaras mizonos should tzarak in aleh b'peh b'shabbos, so you can use your mouth to cry out, seemingly if there is no food, I guess a drought, something like that. But not with a shofar. You don't sound the shofar in Shabbos. V'chein, similarly, here, a city. Sheikuf akum onaru svinam b'turefes bayam. So let's say, in our case, there's an attack. So in that case, says the Shulchan Aruch, so akin u'mischanen b'tfilos b'shabbos, you can cry out b'shabbos. Aval ein token, you can't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Now, what would be the one exception? Ele'im kein token likbot sa'an. Unless the shofar would gather more people, la'azor acheihem u'la'atzilem. Unbelievable.
So you use the internet to get people. That's the loudspeaker.
Right, so you would only be able to blow the shofar, not in tefillah, but to alert people to come and help and save. So if there's a danger, so what happens in Israel, unfortunately, sometimes, is that they'll shoot a bullet in the air. And I remember when there was that Rahman al-Islam awful attack on Itamar on a Friday night where the Fogel family, if I'm not mistaken, why they were butchered. It was like one of the worst stories ever. And I remember the mayor of Itamar came and he spoke in Wayu. And he said, I took my rifle, whatever, and I shot a bullet in the air to alert the town that there was an emergency. So that's seemingly exactly this, right? That you're allowed to do something to alert everybody. That there is a sakana, especially if you're alerting people who could come help. Okay. So now the question is, in general, what's the tone of the tefillah? So certainly, the Shulchan Aruch just paskined that if you're actually in danger, oh yeah, it's different if there's no food. So we are not, the ones who are quote-unquote in danger 100%. But the Shulchan Aruch is going to say, certainly, you can daven if there's a sakana. So where the literature comes up here is a little bit related to davening for a chola on Shabbos. Right? So exactly as some of you predicted. So Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Rav Schoenbach, they all have tshuvos, believe it or not, or literature about what to do when it comes to reciting Tehillim for the sake of a chola on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe in Or HaChaim Aleph Simen Kuf Hei, he was asked, on the last day of Pesach, there was a certain ill individual who said, please daven for me. He was in a life-threatening situation, but it wasn't like he was going to die that day. So he was very ill, but it wasn't as urgent as of like, he only had a day to live. So they recited Tehillim on his behalf. And they asked Rav Moshe, not what should we do, but rather if what we did was correct or not. And Rav Moshe said, absolutely, you made the right choice. Now, why? Says Rav Moshe, because he requested that you daven on his behalf. And you know what? If you would not have listened to him, it would have had a negative effect on his health. He would have been mentally disturbed or emotionally, we'll say driven to illness, and that could have made it very dangerous. So that's Ramosha's response. But in the end of the tshuva, he says, listen, you're certainly allowed to daven for him, even if it's Shabbos. But let's say he doesn't request for you to daven for him. So when he doesn't ask, but other people ask, usher. Meaning, says Rav Moshe, to have a Tehillim for a stam sick person on Shabbos is inappropriate to Shabbos. Why? Now, what would be the violation there? What would you say? What are we not allowed to do on Shabbos? You're not allowed to daven for personal needs on Shabbos.
We're making
Mishaberach. Very good. So there's a concept on the books that we don't say Tehillim on Shabbos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Elisha Shlomo says, Mutter lechatchila lomar b'Shabbos tefillah as Rabbi Chunim Nakanya before Limud, ki b'kashas alinei ruchanim enu b'chla b'kashas tzarachim. So you're allowed to ask for spiritual matters on Shabbos. That's not included in the general prohibition to ask for personal matters on Shabbos. And in the footnote over there, Elisha Shlomo on tefillah, per gidal ha'ar yates, he writes, all in the name of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, that Rav Mir's Tehillim al hachol b'Shabbos, Yesh makom lahakel, kishomer b'yachidus. So if you personally want to say Tehillim for a sick family member or whatever, in your own living room, whatever, totally fine. Mutter. Why? She'enu nikar she'omra lezuchus acholet. Because the general appearance of a person saying Tehillim, it doesn't look, we'll say, that you're davening urgently for the sake of a chola. But over there in the footnote, I'm sorry, in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, there's a little bit more explanation. Also all by Rav Shlomo Zalman. Mutar lispal b'Shabbos al chol sheish bo sakana. You're allowed to daven for a sick person on Shabbos if there's a sakana. But let's say it's not urgent. V'achol abike sheish ba'olav. But like Rav Moshe's case, the individual says, please daven for me. You're allowed to daven for him on Shabbos like Rav Moshe. Good. If he asks. But says Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, if there's a chola that is not in a sakana, mutar lomar b'Shabbos pirkei tehillim b'yachidus. But don't have tehillim in a tzibur. Why? A different reason. It's going to cause to the tzibur distraction. It's going to cause the tzibur to manev me'oneg Shabbos o me'simchas yantif. So meaning, listen. The idea here was, if he's not in a sakana, if he's not in a sakana, so we don't want the tzibur to lose their Shabbos, so to speak. But these are not talking about what we're going through right now. This is not talking about a war. The Chuvas Van Hagos of Sternbach, he speaks about Tehillim on Shabbos. Says, obviously, if you're just praising Hashem, that's totally fine. The only heter, though, if you're davening as a need, is b'sakana. He says, if you're davening to request something from Hashem, better not to do it on Shabbos. You're supposed to daven on Shabbos personal needs. But then he says, v'lo heter ela kishob b'chas v'shalom b'sakana. Meaning, when you're in sakana, it's okay. So until this point, we've seen people allowed to daven intentionally on Shabbos when they are in sakana, right? But it's seemingly rather intuitive to say that in the same way the Rambam said, that so too, if you can help, you better go run to that town and go save them physically on Shabbos. So too, b'derech tefillah, I don't think anyone would tell you not to daven this Shabbos and pretend as if there's no war going on. I think it's inappropriate. And Rav Sternbach here says there's a heter when there's a sakana. So we're going to say we're not in sakana right now. Of course, we're all in sakana right now. It's a shas sakana, period. So even if you feel like there's no enemy in our borders or in our immediate danger, but number one, it's not true necessarily. You know, it's unclear what's going on. So we shouldn't be naive. And then we're in a sakana. So again, I don't know what shuls are going to do. My understanding is that in the Passaic, I think towards the end of Yontif, they even had a gathering. I might be wrong. I don't know exactly what happened. My understanding is that by the end of Sunday, before Motzei Yontif even, I think people, yeah, I might be wrong. Yudin was telling me about his experiences in Passaic over Yontif. So, again, I don't know if shuls are going to have Tehillim this Shabbos. I think it has happened in the past. Again, the literature comes up by davening for a chola. And there you can say, there's a difference between a chol sheish b'sakana versus aim b'sakana. There's a difference if the chol is requested or not requested. But a lot of this has to do with the emotional well-being of the community. Because imagine if the community would be bothered by not davening. Imagine if the community said, we have a chol in our community. How can we not allow him for him? And people would be bothered if they did not say davening for him, right? Could you imagine such a thing that the oneg Shabbos and the simchas Yom Tov is already ruined? That's not a question. So we might as well say tehillim, right? So I'll tell you what one boy said to me today. Rabbi, I don't want to go on a Shabbaton the Shabbos. I'm just not in the mood. I'm going to be depressed the whole time. Like, why would I go? Like, I don't want to be there. Very valid point, right? I personally, again, you know, if I feel like I can help the Kehila there, students asking about questions of Amunah or just, you know, to explain things. I don't know. You know, if there's a role, there's a role. But if there's no role, it's time. You know, in the same way you cancel a water park, you cancel a Shabbaton if the goal is fun. If there's obviously a Toelis, there's a Toelis. But the point is that you can understand that if the community is already emotionally in a certain place, so you don't have to pretend like it's not there. Or do you? So this comes up, and we'll try to bridge the final halach before going to Shkafa for the last 5 minutes. Are you allowed to cry on Shabbos? People are just crying. Today, I was in this teacher's room at TABC. Multiple Israeli teachers, but there were two Israeli women who teach Hebrew in TABC. They're just crying. Because as the news continues to come out, the devastation just gets worse. And they were just crying. And that happens. People are just going to be crying. It's very normal this week for people to just not control their tears. Non-Jews and Jews alike, right? News reporters cannot control their emotions. So what about Shabbos? Should anyone feel guilty for crying on Shabbos? So the Shulchan Aruch and Reish Peiches Beis, the Rama writes, V'chein mi sheyesh lo oneg im yivke. You feel better if you cry. The crying alleviates my emotional pain. Mutar livkos b'Shabbos. So I think that really sets the tone of this entire sugya. Here we're kind of piecing together different things. I think the Ramah's point here is, if you're emotionally in a place of bechia, you don't have to pretend that you're not there. Meaning, so I would say the same thing by Tehillim. It's like, who are we kidding here? Who we kidding? Number one, this is a Kohen's probably mutter. But like, I don't think anyone's doing anyone any favors by pretending there's no war going on. And again, it is true that Mishabur brings down a machlokas. That some achronim, like the Taz, hold that you're only allowed to cry on Shabbos if it's like out of immense closest to Hashem. And the Midrash or the Zohar says that Rabbi Akiva would cry on Shabbos when he said Shir Shirim and like this immense, like the Vekos type of thing. But the other achronim says the Mishabur would disagree. And they just say like the Pashtas in the Ramah, namely, if you're feeling emotionally sad and crying would make you feel better, you're totally allowed to cry this Shabbos. So I would say Tehillim totally encouraged the Shabbos crying if you need to. Totally encouraged the Shabbos. But I think it's important to note the history we're living through right now. The Parsha of Bereishis speaks of Adam HaRishon, and the Midrash says, in the Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Chavbeis, that Torah says that Vayetze Kain, Kain went out. And the Midrash, what did he went out? What did he go out? And the Midrash says that Adam HaRishon met Kain and said, how did you get here? What happened? I mean, how was your judgment? And Kain, who killed Hevel, told Adam, well, actually, I did tshuva, and they let me go. And what's Adam HaRishon's response? He said, I didn't understand how great tshuva was. I just didn't know. And you know what he then says? He gets up and says, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. What? What in the blazes is the connection between Adam HaRishon's recognition of the greatness of tshuva? Like, wow, Kayan, tshuva got you out of a death sentence. And therefore, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. What? And this is where we end with Dibrei Machshava. Shabbos is part of creation, and it's also not part of creation. And what that means is that Shabbos teaches you that there are new realities that you never could have thought of because of Shabbos. Adam HaRishon says, I never would have thought of that if not for Shabbos. Shabbos taught me that there could be a new reality. I never thought Cain could have been acquitted. And Shabbos teaches me that there's a new way to approach life. And how many of us live life a certain way during the weekday? And Shabbos teaches us how to think differently. Take a step back and you have time to contemplate and actually think a little bit and breathe a little bit. And what happens on Motzei Shabbos when you've experienced that ability to take a step back and breathe? We start to think about Mashiach. You think about Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi is mentioned on Motzei Shabbos. And why do we light a candle at Avdallah? Because something was created on a Motzei Shabbos. I don't understand. I thought everything was already created before Shabbos. But what was created on a Motzei Shabbos? Fire. Really? It was created on Motzei Shabbos? Reverence will help me think of this. Is that there's certain things that were already in creation. Fire was already in creation. Bereishis, the Shemayim was Eshumayim. But Adam HaRishon didn't realize how much more there was to creation until after Shabbos. I mean, fire had already existed. But after Shabbos Kodesh, Adam HaRishon knew how to build it again. You put two sticks together and we light Havdalah candles. And you know what we see at Havdalah when we see that fire? There's a new reality. I never thought there could be a thing called fire. It was already part of creation. Tshuva was already part of creation. But after Shabbos, man's able to see reality with new dimensions. I didn't realize creation was not as complete. I didn't really know there were so many parts of creation I never would have dreamed of. And what do we dream of on Motzei Shabbos, Mashiach? We have to view this war's ending as something we never would have dreamed of. Will the borders of Israel be changed forever next week? Will Mashiach come this week? We need to start thinking like a Havdalah Jew, like an Adam HaRishon Jew who says, I've never seen this before. And I don't want the ending of this to be a ceasefire. I don't want to get to a place in the news where, oh, Baruch Hashem, ceasefire back to normal. I don't want that. I want Eliyahu HaNavi this time. I want Gush Katif back. I want Eliyahu HaNavi this time. And I think we as Jews need to learn from Adam HaRishon and from Shabbos to think big, to think big. Shabbos teaches us to dream, to believe in a new reality. And imagine if this Motzei Shabbos, we meant it. When we could say, Eliyahu HaNavi is coming. Imagine if soldiers started saying, the people who died, I see them. I'm marching with them in the streets. They're back alive. Think a little meshuga, because these are crazy times. And if they're crazy times in the bad, they should all be, see, Bezer Hashem, be crazy times. And the good, we should all be zochet to Yeshua, so brachos and besoros tovos, and literally, Mashiach b'meir v'yameinu.